dwell with my soul in the mighty name of Jesus. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, it is well with my soul. It is well with my marriage. It is well with my family. It is well with my children. It is well with my career. It is well with my business. It is well with all that concerns me. In the name of Jesus, it is well. It is well. The Bible says, say unto the righteous that it is well with his soul. It is well with you. It is well with me. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, blessed Redeemer. We give you praise. We give you glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, thank you, mighty God. For in Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you because there is absolutely no doubt in our hearts that you are a good God. A good God that doeth good. Doeth good unto his people. Father, we appreciate you. Jehovah, we glorify your name. We thank you because, Lord, you have exalted your word high above your name. So your word is sacred. Daddy, we thank you because, Lord, you have said in the word of God, in your word, that we should say unto the righteous that it is well. Lord, for this congregation, including myself today, I declare that it is well. In the mighty name of Jesus, as many as may be troubled in their spirit, as many as may be troubled in their hearts, they are wondering, will this year roll by and this thing does not happen for me? Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that, Lord, this morning you will give them assurance. Lord, you will give us the blessed assurance in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, blessed Redeemer. We give you praise. We give you glory. For in Jesus' matchless name, I have prayed. Amen. Lord, as we go into your word, speak to us in the name of Jesus. Let your word edify. Let your word exhort in the name of Jesus. Let your word rebuke in the mighty name of Jesus. Above all, have your way, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. I yield myself as a channel of blessing this morning. Lord, flow through me, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. In Jesus' matchless name, I have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may please be seated. God bless you. We have been through many transitions this morning. The microphone has gone from best to bad to good to fair to okay. But we understand this is our first service here. As a matter of fact, we just put all the equipments together this morning. You know, so if it's not sounding too good, don't worry. This will not be our usual lifestyle. Will be better than this by far in the name of Jesus. And I want you to do me a favor this morning. This is very, very important. I want you to look around very well. Look around, look around. Look around the building. Look at the faces. Look around. Make sure you're looking. Make sure you're looking. The country, look. Look around. Okay. That's okay. You've done well. I want you to know that the word of God, revelation, prophecy is progressive. Amen? Anything that God is involved in is dynamic. It doesn't stay at the same place. Praise the Lord. That is why, by the grace of God, today, Pastor John is sitting here and we are sending him forth. Why? Because God is dynamic. As you have looked around, I want you to know that by the special grace of God, this time next year, when we are rounding up the year, this environment will have changed. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. I was reminding the workers this morning, the first time we moved from the hotel and came to rent the 5415 Jackwood Drive, when we got there, I had two concerns. My number one concern was the money. You know, because, we were going from nothing to almost nothing to $1,200 a month. And $1,200 later on became $2,400 a month. So I was calculating the money.
And these things, well, you know, Brother Alex, him and I, we went to see the place together, you know. So I had to behave like pastor, you know. So I was showing some confidence, but inside me, I was afraid a little bit, you know. So the second concern I had was I saw this huge room. I'm like, what are we going to do with this? We're only 10 people. Praise the Lord. And the rest is history now. That little place that was big in my sight, we knocked down all the walls. We expanded. We filled the place. At the point in time, we started two services, you know, until we figured that most people would like the second service. So there's no point, you know, doing these things. So we switched things around a little bit. I want you to know that this is just the beginning. Somebody say the beginning. And if you know scriptures very well, what God is doing to the nation as it moved in the nation of Israel, what he did to the nation of Israel was an example of the things he wanted to do in the lives of the individuals. Somebody say amen. Amen. Because what you're seeing, the new beginning, the transition you see happening now, is an indication of what God wants to do in your life. God is taking us as a church and as individuals. He's taking us through a transition. And he's taking us to a better place. If I ask you this morning, would you rather be on 15, what's that place again? I'm almost forgetting. 5415 Jackwood. Would you rather be there or you'd rather be at 5711 Mobile Street? I would rather be here than up there. I'm telling you, where God is taking you is a better place than where you are right now. In the name of Jesus. And let me tell us something. I'm jumping ahead of myself, but that's okay. Tomorrow, I'm going to be unveiling what God has been speaking to us. But because you are here today, you will have sneak preview. The new year, the year 2013, you can write it down. It's the word of the Lord. It's not a good idea. It's a God idea. The year 2013 is going to be a year of fruitfulness. Amen. Amen. Every barrenness will meet with the wrath of God. In the name of Jesus. You will be fruitful. I will be fruitful. In the name of Jesus. Not only will it be a year of fruitfulness, it will be a year of bountiful harvest. Amen. If you are talking about a bountiful harvest, there's a condition to it. If God tells you are going to have a harvest, it's either you have planted or you are about to plant. Because there's no reaping without sowing. The scripture says, whatsoever a man sows, that also shall he reap. Praise the Lord. Next year, we'll be praying a lot. We'll be praying a lot. That prayer that we'll be praying will be like the watering of the field where we have planted our seeds. Amen. Prayers will be intensified. I see it happening already. I've been telling the ministers for some time. In the year 2013, it's going to be a lot of prayers. And coming with the prayers is going to be a lot of fruitfulness. In the name of Jesus. It really does not matter where you need fruitfulness. It can be fruit of the womb. It can be in your business. Any area you need fruitfulness, you can believe God for it. In the beginning of the year, God told us. He said, this year will be a year of establishment. And I told everybody, I said, whatever you have been thinking of doing, this is a good year to start. Amen. When we went for Dr. John's open house, he was telling me, he said, Pastor, I have not seen anything like this before. Month after month, they have exceeded whatever is coming in there. People are coming, they don't even know where they're coming from. Praise the Lord. It is a year of establishment. The establishment is what we are experiencing here today. Praise the Lord. I prophesy to you as the Lord lives. As we finish this year, you will not finish without getting your miracle. In the name of Jesus. It does not take God a year to perfect a miracle. It only takes him to say, now is the time and it is done. Praise the Lord. And not only that, as we enter into the new year, men will see you and call you fruitful. Amen. They will call you blessed. The hand of God upon your life will be apparent in the mighty name of Jesus. I believe it and I want you to receive it in the name of Jesus. Your harvest will not be hidden in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Let's go into the word. The Bible, at the beginning of the month, the Lord told us that the month of December will be victory at last. Victory at last. And shortly after that, this building was confirmed. And in this month, we signed the contract. And by God's grace, we own the building. We may be paying mortgage, but we own the building. Amen. And very soon, we're going to pay off the mortgage in the name of Jesus. Because we are entering into a season of fruitfulness. So, the Lord told us it's a month of victory at last. And the journey of 5 years, the Lord perfected for us this year. As I was praying, the Lord began to speak to my heart. And it took my mind back to the children of Israel when they were delivered from the land of Egypt. And they crossed the Red Sea. Before they crossed the Red Sea, the Bible says that God decided not to take them on a particular route, even though it was shorter, because he knew what was in their hearts. Listen to this. Modern day Israel to Egypt, if you go by donkey or carriage or any of those things, is about 30 days journey. It took them 40 years. But they got there. That's the important thing. Like they say in English adage, it said the end justifies the means. They got there. That's the important thing. For us, we were 3 minutes walk away. And we have gone all over the city. We went to that place on the northeast side. We were ready to, we had the money. We were ready to sign off on the contract. They said no. We went on another place on Culebra. We looked for the bishop and saw the, they wanted to sell. We are the one looking for them. Isn't it the person that wants to sell that markets his product? We were the one running after them with money. It still didn't happen. We went all over the place. We up and down. But it was just 3 minutes away from us. I prophesy to you today, every blessing of God, every miracle of God that is hidden for you, not from you, hidden for you, the Lord will reveal. The Lord will open your eyes of understanding. You will enter into that place in the mighty name of Jesus. Today, I bring the word of the Lord to you. Victory at last, rejoice. Somebody say rejoice. In Exodus chapter 15 and verse 1, Exodus chapter 15 and verse 1, the Bible says, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Listen, this is the only account that I know in scripture where David, Moses, at least the first time, that Moses was singing. You know why? They had been in bondage. Moses himself for 40 years had been in exile. He lived the first 40 years of his life in Pharaoh's palace. And then the vision of God inside of him could not let him rest any further. But he was rushing faster than God. He was moving quicker than God. And therefore, he needed some training in the backside of the wilderness. Praise the Lord. The Bible says for 40 years he was in the wilderness. He was not singing in the wilderness. The Bible says in Psalm 137, he said, by the rivers of Babylon, he said, there we sat down. He said, the people were asking of us to sing a song. He said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? They were not singing in Egypt. They were in bondage. They were in captivity. They were sad. They were sorrowful. But one day came. One day came. They crossed the Red Sea. On the other side of the Red Sea, they were singing unto the Lord. You will sing a new song. I say you will sing a new song in the name of Jesus. After a great victory, it is kind of inevitable you begin to sing. I don't know if something so wonderful that you have been believing God for has happened and come through for you before. When it happens, even though you know your voice is not a singing voice, all of a sudden you begin to sing. And somebody tells you, stop singing, you are messing up the song. He said, I'm not singing to you, I'm singing to God. I praise the Lord. It is inevitable. When God does that great thing for you, the songs just flow. You ask somebody to come and lead us, say, take us in 2-3 songs. Say, I don't have any song. But let God do that miracle. Once the miracle happens, you begin to sing. You will sing unto the Lord. Added to that is that you will receive your miracle that will cause you to sing. In verse 11, we know this song very well, but some of us may not know that it was scripture. He said, who is like unto thee amongst the gods? Who is like unto thee? O Lord, who is like unto thee? O Lord, among the gods, who is like you? You are glorious in holiness and fearful in praises. Always do in wonders, hallelujah. This is a song that they quickly put together on the other side of the Red Sea. Because they look back at the things that the Lord has done, say, who is like unto you, O Lord? Who is like you? Who can part a sea? Who can part a stream? Talk how much more a sea. And they did not walk on muddy ground. The Bible says, and the floor of the sea was congealed. God will perfect everything concerning you in the mighty name of Jesus. So they began to sing. They began to sing. Why? Because God had done it for them. When the Bible tells us in 2 Samuel chapter 6, that when they eventually brought the Ark of the Covenant to the city of David, the Bible says the singers began to sing and King David was dancing. And as he was dancing, the Bible says he threw off his outer garment in front of his mates. And the wife was so upset. That what is wrong with you? He said, that is the reason why God took the kingdom from your father. Because your father don't know how to praise God. Praise the Lord. He said, that is why God took the kingdom from your father and gave it to me. Because your father does not know how to thank God. Friends, I want you to rejoice. I don't know what it is you are trusting God for. I don't know what you were hoping and hoping and hoping against hope. And it seemed like the year is almost over and nothing has happened. God has told me to tell you, rejoice. Rejoice. Rejoice in the hope of your salvation. Amen. To rejoice is to be full of joy. Listen to this. Many people confuse joy with happiness. Happiness is what I feel if you suddenly buy a new car. Praise the Lord. In fact, every time you see the car, you are just smiling. I've told you the story before of a man back in the day. They call it V-Boot. It's a Mercedes-Benz when it just came out back in the day in Nigeria. So this man just bought the car, you know, and it wasn't even a brand new car. Anyway, let's leave that side. But it was a nice Mercedes-Benz car. You know, so he parked it outside. He went to bed at night. You know, 1 o'clock in the morning, he woke up. He went to the window to see if the car is still out there in the driveway. Went back to sleep. Half hour later, he went. The wife said, what are you doing? He said, I'm stretching. I'm going to the bathroom. Why? He's so happy. He has the latest car in town. That car was a signature of the affluent people in the society. That is happiness. But joy is a product of the Spirit. Amen? Joy come is a fruit of the Spirit. That's what the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 5. Say, and the fruit of the Spirit is, and it lists them, and joy is one of them. I want you to cultivate the habit of rejoicing in the Lord. your life is not supposed to be under any circumstance. I hear people say this from time to time, under this circumstance, and my question is, what are you doing under it? You are not supposed to be under any circumstance. You are supposed to be over it. Amen. The Lord will put you over. The Bible says we are overcomers in Christ Jesus. You will overcome. I say you will overcome in the mighty name of Jesus. In the New Testament, what we see is God, before God does things, he speaks to us ahead of time, true? And the expectation of God is once you have had the word, you believe it and you receive it and consider it done. That is what they call faith. Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is what? The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. So once the word comes to you in the New Testament, God expects you to receive it. You take the word and you run with the word. You run with the word and you walk with it as though you have received it. That is faith. I did a word search. In the whole of the New Testament, the word faith, I found it only twice. Not faithful, but faith. Faith two times in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, faith 245 times. What does that say to you? That in the New Testament, God expects us to live by faith. One of the instances you find faith in the Old Testament is in Habakkuk chapter 2. The Bible says, and the just shall live by faith. And Apostle Paul quoted profusely from there. The just shall live by faith. Romans chapter 1 verse 17. Romans chapter 1 verse 17. The just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11, the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10:38, the just shall live by faith. Faith is the substance of the things that you are hoping to get from God. Amen? It is as real to you as day is. Even though I was not sure exactly when this will happen, I know God cannot lie and God cannot deceive us. God cannot mock us. God is not a teaser. You know, sometimes people, they tease you with stuff. You know, they let you smell it, then they take it away from you. God is not like that. The Bible says the gifts and the callings of God, they are without repentance. Once he gives it to you, it is yours. When he makes a promise to you, he's not going to tease you with that promise. He's not going to make you see it almost coming to pass and then he will snatch it away. God does not operate like that. Praise the Lord. So, in the scripture, we have seen that in the New Testament, even though I have prayed for all of these things that I have prayed for, faith is saying that I have prayed, God has heard, and that is it. Amen? God has said it. I have believed it. That's it. Nothing more. Amen? So whatever it is that you have not received as the year is rolling on, I want you to start thanking God for it. I want you to start singing joyful song and dancing unto the Lord. Because the Lord that did this for his church, he will do much more for you. Oh, somebody didn't hear me. I said the Lord that did this for his church will do much more for you. Maybe you don't understand what I'm saying. When we were planning to build, the drawing we had was for 5,000 square feet. And then we looked at it, we were scratching our head. I said, Dr. John, how? I said, this thing can't fit. It can't work. We said, okay, let's put a second level on the other side so that we can add additional 2,000 square feet. 7,000 square feet is all we were hoping for. But God gave us 12,500 square footage. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, he will do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you may think or ask of him. Hallelujah. God will do for you exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you may think or ask of him. In the mighty name of Jesus. This should tell you something, that you are limited in your thinking. Obviously, I know I am now. Because when we started initially, the drawing was 16,000 square feet. But when they gave us the bill for 16,000 square feet, 2.5 million, I said, okay. Okay, we will do it. We have the drawing, we will do it. Just not now. So we started scaling down. We went from 10,000 to 8,000 to 5,000 and back to 7,000. And God said, O ye of little faith, don't you know the God that you serve? The owner of all things. Just these two portions alone is 9,000 square feet. 9,000 square feet. Friends, I am talking to you about a God that is more than enough. A God that is above all. That all things belong to him. All power belong to him. He is not afraid. He is not weary. He is not tired. He does not fall asleep. He is watching over you and I. To perfect his word in our lives. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Apostle Paul was somebody that knew about rejoicing. The Bible tells us in Philippians, the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Anybody can read it for me. The projection is not, it's working, but it's in the corner. I'm still, anybody read it for me, please? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, what? I say rejoice. Why? Because what God says he will do, he will do it. The promise he has made to you, he is not man that he will lie, neither the son of man that he will repent. The promises of God, they are what? They are yea and amen. Hallelujah. Look, a lot of times, for some of us here today, the word of the Lord to you, you will find in Acts chapter 10, when the angel appeared to Cornelius and told Cornelius, he said, thy prayers and thy offerings have come before the Lord. It means the prayer you have prayed, God has heard. The prayer you have prayed, God has answered. I wrote that separately in my notes because that's a word for somebody here today. It said, thy prayers and thy offerings have come before the Lord. It's acceptable. God has accepted. He's accepted it. And you can expect your answer in the name of Jesus. Listen to me. There are times, yesterday I needed some help here. So I called Obi and Brother Luther. You know, and they both said, oh, Pastor, I'll be right there. They came. But it was not the moment I called them that they just supernaturally showed up. It took a process of time. So God is assuring somebody here this morning that he has answered. It's just going through the process. In the name of Jesus. And in the fullness of time, there's at least one person here today. In the fullness of time, you will come back to testify. And you will say, Pastor, I remember that Sunday that you were telling us about the miracle that is in the oven. The bread is baking, the cake is baking. When it's done, you will see it. Amen. In fact, for some of us today, the miracle is done. It's just that it's not in your hand. Amen. I told us before, there was one Sunday after service, I had absolutely no idea. Absolutely no idea. Somebody had dropped a $1,000 check in my bag, and I didn't know. And the compartment where they put the check is a compartment I don't visit regularly. So it took about 4, 5, 6 days before I discovered the check. Listen to me. If I was in need, if I was broke, had God provided? Oh, please answer me. Has God provided? But do I have it? I had it, but I just didn't. I had it, but I didn't have it. You see what I'm saying? That is the stage where some of us are right now. And all you need to do is just rejoice. Just give him praise. Just give him glory. You know what you are demonstrating by rejoicing? What you are demonstrating by rejoicing is, God, I believe you. Worry is an affront to God. When I worry, it's an affront to God. It's like I'm saying, Lord, I'm afraid you might not come through. Amen? Can you imagine my daughter is, any of them, worried about breakfast? How do you think I will feel? So what's the problem? I don't know if we have breakfast this morning. The first thing I'll do is a prayer of deliverance. Something has to be wrong. You know, for my child to wake up in the, by the grace of God, by the grace of God, breakfast cannot be, food cannot be a problem. You see what I'm saying? So for her to wake up worried, there's something wrong with that picture. That is exactly what we do to God. The one that makes the universe, the heavens and the earth, everything belongs to him. The Bible says the silver is his, the gold is his. The cattle upon a thousand hills, they belong to him. The creator, the one that created over 6 billion people, can he not give you a child? If it's experience, we're talking about the 6 billion that are living now. We're not counting those that he has made and have died. How can giving you a twins be a problem for him? In fact, a quadruplet. How can it be? If it's experience, he has experience. Amen? Everything you need, he has it. And that is why he's saying to somebody here today, rejoice. 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 Can I tell you something? Many of us, many believers today are more focused on their problems than the promise of God. Amen? Many of us are focused. We can see the problem more than we can see the promise. The Bible tells us that God has made great, exceeding, precious promises to us. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding and great promises, that by this ye might be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So, for example, if I am sick in my body, listen to this. God is not about to heal me. He already made provision for healing, even before I fell sick. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. He said, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were, past tense, by whose stripes ye were healed. So, my sickness is not catching God by surprise, Island. Before I was sick, he already made provision for me to be healed. Amen? Amen? If we understand the great, exceeding, precious promises of God, we will always rejoice. I have learned by experience that God is a provider. Because I've been in difficult straits. I've gone days without food, just going on water, not because I was fasting, but because there was no food. And it was so important to me that I don't throw a pity party around myself. I made every effort to smile and shine and rise and everything. I didn't wear it on my face. In fact, the day I was sharing my testimony, everybody that was in my house fellowship group, they were upset. They were like, what kind of testimony is that? You were hungry and we are right here and you didn't ask us for food. They were very upset with me. In fact, for days, maybe even weeks after, they were bringing food to my house. I said, the storm is over. The storm is over. I have food. I don't want to waste your food. I have food. But they didn't believe me. Friends, God has made great, exceeding precious promises towards us. Our responsibility is to discover. Day by day, discovering the promise of God for your life. And you know what? When you discover the promise of God for your life, it will cause you great joy. It will cause you great joy. Prosperity is a provision he made before you and I arrived on the scene. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, it said, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor." That what? "That ye through his poverty might be rich." So that I will be able to afford all manner of stuff is a given. As long as I'm born again. If you are saved, that you will have to spend and to spare. It's not something you are working on. It's something that God has provided for. But you see, when we focus on the problem and not on the promise, then guess what? Depression will set in. Sorrow will set in. Amen? Heaviness will set in. Why? Because we are focused on the problem. Please understand me. I'm not saying the problems are not real. That's not what I'm saying. Faith is not denying the obvious. That's not faith. Faith is confidence in God in spite of the problem. Amen? So when I have a need, when we're calculating how are we going to do this, how are we going to do that, believe it or not, supernaturally, God has helped us. In this place, as you see it, that it may not be, is definitely not anywhere near where we're going. But over $40,000 has gone into remodeling and, you know, repairs and this and that. Amen? But God has provided every step of the way. As the need arises, God makes provision. As the need arises, God makes provision. I speak to your life today that as the Lord lives, your needs shall be met. I say your needs shall be met according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Friends, I encourage you today, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord and focus on the promise of God for your life. He has promised you life. He has promised you health. He has promised you prosperity. He has promised you increase. With God, answer to prayers is a guarantee. Somebody say guarantee. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24. Isaiah 65, verse 24. "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." That God will pay attention to you is a given. Amen? Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 9. Ezekiel 36 and verse 9. The Bible says, "Behold, I am for you." Is that what it says? "Behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and you shall be tilled, and you shall be sown." God is saying every barrenness in your life will be a matter of history. When they talk about barrenness concerning you, it will be, "We remember when she used to be broke. We remember when she lacked such and such. We remember when he lacked such and such." It can never be present tense in your life. Not to talk of present continuous. I forbid it in Jesus' name. The Bible says, "Behold, I am for you." If God says it's for you, guess what? He's for you. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. If the general overseer of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, our daddy, Pastor E. Adeboye, if he says, "Koye, don't worry, I am for you," guess what you will do? You will broadcast it. Gio is for me. I don't care what anybody says. Say you have a conflict with a group and something, and the Gio says, "Don't worry, I am for you." Would you walk away from their side? You say, "Oh, let's wait until they have the meeting and then the verdict is passed." Will you do that? No, You are confident that the boss, the top dog, has spoken. And what he says is what he's going to hold. God is saying, I am for you. Don't fret yourself. We had a good Bible study in my house on Christmas Day. Psalm 37. Don't fret yourself. God is for you. God is for you. And he says, and I will turn unto you. Listen, if you were talking to me, you know, and I'm looking away, what would you say? Like, Pastor, may I please have your attention? Why? Because I'm not turning to you. When he says, I will turn to you, what he's saying is, I will pay attention to you. Not only am I for you, I'm not for you from a distance. He said, I am for you and I will pay attention to you. I will watch over my words in your life to perfect it. I will watch over my words in your life to perform it. That's why I am for you. God is for you. And it goes on to say, and ye shall be tilled and ye shall be sown. It's saying every barrenness in your life is banished. Banished forever. In the mighty name of Jesus. 1 John chapter 5, 14 and 15. 1 John chapter 5, 14 and 15. And it says, this is the confidence that we have in him. That if, you see, if is different from when. Because if is conditional. If is you may and you may not. You see that? He said, if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. But if we don't ask anything, does he hear us? He can't hear you if you don't ask. He said, if we ask anything of him, he heareth us. According to his will, he heareth us. Verse 15, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know. Somebody say we know. Some people, all they know is their problem. But here the scripture is saying, for we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of him. This is why the scripture is saying to you to rejoice. It said rejoice. Rejoice, and again I say what? Rejoice. Why? Because you have the victory. You have the victory. I have the victory. You see, the battle that we are up against is a rigged fight. It's a fixed fight. That is why David can say in 1 Samuel chapter 17, as he was running to fight Goliath, he said, this battle is not my battle. It's the Lord's battle. And the Lord is a warrior. Is the mighty man of battle, is the commander of the host of heaven. His name is Jehovah Sabaoth. So with that confidence, David looked at Goliath, and the height of Goliath meant nothing to him. Because he knew this is a fixed fight. He knew this is not David against Goliath. This is God against the Goliath, and David is just a representative of God fighting Goliath. As a believer, if you understand that your prayers are important to God, when you pray, you will not go around complaining again. That's why you see people, they go to this person, Dickiness, pray for me, problem, this and that. She lays hands, prays the prayer of faith, and then the individual goes from there, Pastor, please pray for me. Did you believe the prayer that was prayed before? Yes, I believe. What are you doing over here? Your action over here is a demonstration of your unbelief over there. And guess what? Once they leave pastor over here, they are going to another, once another archbishop enters town, bishop, please pray for me. Friends, the problem we have is a problem of unbelief. God is a God that hears and answers prayers. You will notice there, it didn't say if you go to the pastor to pray for you. It said if you pray, if you will ask him anything according to his will, it says he will give it to you. You will ask and he will hear you, and the petitions you have asked, he will grant it to you. Praise the Lord. Guaranteed answer to prayer. I told you earlier, the Lord told me to tell maybe one, maybe two, maybe three. I don't know how many people. Acts chapter 10 and verse 4. So when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, this is Cornelius looking at the angel of the Lord. What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. He says, thy prayers and thy alms have come up as a memorial before God. Some of us, you have sowed, and you have sowed a lot. In this church, we have givers. Praise the Lord. We have givers. It is inconceivable the amount of God, by the grace of God, that have been raised in this house. And I am saying to you today, this is the word of the Lord to you. Not my word. This is the word that the Lord laid on my heart as I woke up and I was praying in the middle of the night. This is the word the Lord said to me. He said, thy prayers and thy alms have come as a memorial before me. So God is remembering your offering today. God is remembering your giving today. God is saying that it has come up like a sweet-smelling savour before me. And God will remember you for good. I said the Lord will remember you for good. In the name of Jesus. He gave Cornelius the assurance. He said, Cornelius, your prayers have been heard. If God says, I have heard, believe me, it is done. Amen? Because any prayer you pray contrary to his word, he will not hear it. That is why 1 John 5:14 says, when we pray according to his will, he hears us. The prayers he hears are the prayers that is prayed according to his word. That is why the scripture says, the prayer of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord. But when we pray in line with his will, you know, there are a lot of fancy prayers that people pray. You know, God killed the devil. Since you killed him, who is troubling you today if you killed him yesterday? That's not scriptural. There's nowhere in the Bible it says then they killed the devil. You can't kill the devil. His time is not yet. It's going to be locked up. It's a spirit. You know, you can't kill a spirit. It's going to be locked up in hell when the time comes. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verse 12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, and continuing instant in prayer. I have to round up now. There's a couple of reasons why I believe Apostle Paul, for instance, could rejoice in spite of his situation. Apostle Paul, when he wrote the book of Philippians, was locked up in prison. And in the book of Philippians, one of the themes of the book of Philippians is rejoice. A man locked up in prison is writing to free people to rejoice in the Lord. He's in prison. Not because he stole. He's in prison for preaching the gospel. The gospel that we are free to preach today and some may not preach. But for preaching the gospel, they threw him in prison. And is writing to others and saying to them, rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. What can cause a man in such terrible situation to rejoice? One of the things I saw about the life of Apostle Paul that made him rejoice is that he considered it a privilege to suffer for Christ. For us today, we don't like any discomfort. You know, life has to go a certain way, and if it's not going that certain way, because the society has defined for us what success is. Amen? For us as a church, the need to build, the reason why we decided we're going to build was based on need. It was apparent. I remember Rick, the drummer. Where's Rick? Rick in the back, yeah. I came to church one evening, and Rick was working on the drum set, fine-tuning everything. And I said, Rick, if we had more room, Would you want more things on the drum set? He said, yeah, but this is okay. This is okay. And then he said something that was just totally unbelievable for me. He said, and you know what, Pastor? I've been meaning to invite my family to come to church, but I see there's no place for them to sit, so I didn't invite them. Well, now you can invite them to come on down. Praise the Lord. You know, but we have, a church is successful when it is grand and there's 5,000 people and there's all of these people trooping and trooping out. Is that success? 5,000 people going nowhere. Praise the Lord. Friends, do not let the society pressure you. There are many things that we have accepted that this is how life ought to be, just because that is what the society has told us. But it ought not to be so. Praise the Lord. Apostle Paul considered suffering for Christ a privilege. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, this is Apostle Paul writing to his son in the Lord, Timothy. He said, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. He said, know it. If I'm going to live this life of God, live this life for Christ, there will be some persecution that will come along with it. The enemy will oppose you. If you are going the same direction as the devil is going, there cannot be any resistance. Amen? Because you are going in the same direction. But if it's going this way and you are going the opposite way, guess what? You'll be pressing against each other. That is why sometimes what the unbeliever gets like that, it may take you a little bit to get it because you are a believer. Because there's a resistance. It's resisting your movement. It's pushing you back. It's pushing you back, but you have the victory. It's a rigged fight. I want you to understand that. Have you ever run a race with your children? Not like Pastor Laoludo. Because Pastor Ladito told me that there was a race he did with his daughter. He gave it everything because she was winning him. So he gave it everything to win. But you know, generally, when you are running with little children, you know, you do like that so that they can run ahead. That child will finish before you and say, Daddy, I won. No, that child didn't win. You fixed it. You made it possible for that child to win. Praise the Lord. This fight, this battle is the Lord's. The battle you are up against is the Lord's battle. People will mock you. They will laugh at you. Even unbelievers will tell you your own is too much. Are you the one that killed Jesus? Say, calm down. Your own is too much. Relax. It's not that hard. Friends, hold on to God. Hold on to faith. Many people have taken shortcuts that is going to affect them eternally. There's a couple before I left Nigeria. You know, they were in our church. I was the assistant pastor in the church. You know, but I was also the head of the men's fellowship. So I was very close to the men in the church. So this man in particular, I was very close to him and his wife. You know, they had been married for a few years and they were trusting God for the fruit of the womb. And it would not come through. And we prayed and prayed and prayed. After a while, I told them, I said, God has heard. Believe me. God is not deaf. He will do it. Everything that is contrary to your purpose of getting, God will deal with it. I just left it like that. And then I came to the U.S. 2 years ago or last year. Either last year or 2 years ago. Matter of fact, this year. It was this year when I went in March. When I went in March, I saw this guy. No, I spoke to him on the phone. Guess what? Since I left Nigeria, they have had two sets of twins. Two sets of back to back. They had the first set of twins this year. The following year, they had another set. In 2 years, they had four children. I prophesy to you today that concerning you, God will do a quick work. All those that have laughed at you, all those that are mocking you, they will cover their faces in shame. In the name of Jesus, the people that are mocking you today, they will come around and say, how great is the Lord, even the Lord God, your God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Believe me, it is the word of God. It is a privilege to suffer for God. He knew that, so he could rejoice. He could be happy. He could write letters to the people. And then number two, he saw that suffering for Christ, that he saw opportunities in his suffering. You know, I've told this story many times, but I'll say it just one more time, because it will pop up again. You know, when I came to the U.S. and I couldn't get a job and all of these things, I decided to join the army. Regardless of my qualification, I joined the enlisted thing. And when we're in boot camp, oh my good, I was sad. Okay, sad is an understatement. I was depressed. You know how I know? Almost every night, in the middle of the night, like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, I would wake up, nightmares, sweating, breaking out in sweat. I had to go meet the chaplain. I said, sir, I prepared for the exercise, but I didn't prepare for the heart to do this thing. I need to go home before I lose it. And we're in the process of working it out when God spoke to me. All those people I was angry at said, don't you think they need me? I said, yes. Guess what? I began to evangelize and preach to those people. And many of them responded, I can still bring the yearbook. I still have the yearbook. At the end of the boot camp, they were all grateful that our paths crossed. I began to preach to them. Some of them accepted Christ. Some of them said, for the first time in my life, I am thinking about God. Amen? When you begin to see opportunities in suffering, and you begin to take advantage of your suffering for Christ, then you are moving very quickly to the solution. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. He said, now that I am a prisoner in the palace. He said, all the guards in the palace, he said, they know about Jesus now. So he was not wondering about himself being a prisoner. He was worried about those guards going to hell. He began to evangelize them. And because he sought the opportunities in that suffering, he was able to rejoice. Many people, again, I say, are focused on the problem and not on the promises of God. Amen? But Apostle Paul, he saw the opportunities in his suffering and he took advantage of it. What must I do to maintain my joy? I'll give you 5 points very quickly and I'll say the closing prayer. Number one, what must I do to maintain my joy? Number one, do not be swayed by the slate of men. It helps you to avoid distraction and delay in life. A lot of times when you believe God and you are holding on to God, when you share your beliefs with some people, they will discourage you. They'll say, what are you talking about? That's exactly the same thing this or that person said and nothing happened for them. Amen? Avoid the slates of men. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 14. Ephesians 4 and 14. He said that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, the deceitfulness of men, and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Remember the old prophet and the young prophet. 1 Kings chapter 13. The young prophet had God very clearly. He went ahead and did what God told him to do. But guess what? He encountered a wicked old prophet that swayed him and he was killed. Guess what? It was the same old prophet that prophesied to him that because you have disobeyed God by eating the food that I provided for you, he said a lion will kill you, and he conducted his funeral. Watch out for the slate of men. Amnon, the son of David, and his cousin Jonadab. Jonadab, the Bible says, Amnon loved his half-sister, Tamar. And he was so in love with her. That's base or debased. That's terrible. You are in love with your sister. Anyway, so this guy, Jonadab, comes to advise, son of the king, what's wrong with you? Why are you sad? He told him, I'm in love with my sister. I said, that's not a problem. You just lie down, pretend you are sick, and let the king come and visit you. When the king visits you, tell the king that you want your sister to cook a good meal for you and bring it to you. He said, really? He said, yes. So immediately the Bible says he pretended as if he was sick. And he carried out the plan and raped his own sister and caused bloodshed in the land. Because when Absalom heard, he kept quiet for 2 years. After 2 years, he killed Amnon. Praise the Lord. Absalom himself had to run into exile because of what he had done. Amen. Be careful about the slate of men. Number two, avoid deceitfulness of sin. Sin is very deceitful, people. Sin is very deceitful. It will entice you and it will deceive you. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, Hebrews 3 and verse 13, it says, but exhort one another daily while it is yet called day or called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. When sin has succeeded in deceiving a person, their hearts become hardened. It doesn't matter what you tell them. They can't see past that anymore. Samson thought he could sleep around all over Israel and get away with it. But his sins caught up with him one day. David thought he could get away with the murder of Uriah. But God knew it. He sent a prophet to him. Absalom led a rebellion against his father, ultimately resulted in his death. Ephraim took the promise and the covenant that God had with him for granted. Remember Ephraim and Manasseh. Manasseh was the older one. Ephraim was the younger one. But Ephraim was given the blessing of the older over his brother Manasseh. He took it for granted. In the book of Hosea, the Bible says God said, Ephraim has joined himself to idols. Leave him alone. I myself have left him. So the rest of you leave him alone. Watch out and avoid the deceitfulness of sin. Watch out for the deceitfulness of riches. Deceitfulness of riches. Leaving certainty for uncertainty. You know, there's a kind of confidence that money can give us. Okay. An average person, when they have money in the bank, they walk tall. And an average person, when they are broke, you can almost tell. You know, you wouldn't know it's money, but you know something is wrong. Is everything okay? Oh, yeah, I'm fine. I told you the story of my friend back in the day. When he's broke, he falls ill. I kid you not. And this is not ill of, I have a headache. He has to go to the doctor's office. They give him shots and all kinds of, I'm telling you the truth. Amen. So money is good. It is good to have money. If you have ever handled good money before, you know to have money is a good thing. But when your confidence is now in money, you just missed God. You just missed the train. Why? Because the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 5, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 5, "Thou will thou set thine eyes upon that which is not?" It says, "For certainly riches make wings to themselves. They fly away as an eagle toward the heaven." Even though God will bless you, even though God will prosper us, God is saying, let your treasures be laid up in heaven. Matthew chapter 6, verse 20. Let your treasures be where? In heaven, where moth and rust cannot affect it. He says, riches will develop wings and fly away. Number four. Very quickly, godliness with contentment is great gain. That is what the scripture says. But godliness is not equal to gain. Does that make sense? Godliness with contentment is great gain. But that I am making it in life does not mean God is with me. Otherwise, people like Bill Gates, Donald Trump, they will have more angle on God than the rest of us. I praise the Lord. So watch out. Watch out. Godliness. Godliness is what we must seek every day, day and night. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 1 through 7. Godliness with contentment is great gain.
verse 6. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Let us seek godly life, seek to live godly life. No matter what God has given to us, the things that, the toys that God has given to us must not rule our lives. Praise the Lord. So now that I have a fast car, I can shoot to Houston and shoot to Dallas as I like, you know, so I can't make it to service anymore. But when I had my little jalopy, you know, that it was by faith. I used to have a car like that. When we're leaving the house in the morning, I lay my hands on the car. Oh, car. Today, nobody will be left behind. We will go out together and we will return together. Because, see, I had a car that sometimes chooses to have its own mind. It will just not start. You know, then I have to go and get the gas and blow petrol in the carburetor. Poof, then jump back and quickly jump start it. But thank God that he has delivered me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Finally, number 5. Please, I want you to pay attention to this. Know God for yourself. Please say that after me. Know God for myself. Say, know God for myself. It gives you great confidence and builds your faith in God when you know God for yourself. Not the description of God somebody else has given you, not even the description of God the pastor has given you. The description anybody will give you will just be a pointer for you. But you must know God for yourself. Listen, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. The Bible historians have told us that 2 Timothy was the last epistle that Paul wrote. And he was in prison again when he wrote this epistle. And in this epistle, he was sure that he was facing certain death. But listen to what he wrote. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. It said, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Brethren, please rise to your feet. If you must live with anything today, you must live with this knowledge that I, Adekoye Sonny, you can put your name there. You must know God for yourself. I must know God for myself. This God must be real to me. This God must be my God. This God must be my everything. Know God for yourself. Know God for yourself. For I know. Do I know problem? Or do I know God? Do I know problem or do I know the promises of God? The solution to the problem. What do I know? For I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. Lift up both hands to heaven and just make declarations unto God. Say, Lord, you are my God. There is none besides you. My hope is in you. My confidence is in you. My love is reserved for you. In the name of Jesus, all other love is secondary, but primarily my love is for you. I thank you, Jehovah. I give you praise. I magnify your name. For Lord, you are the one that is at work in my life, both to will and to do of your own good pleasure. Blessed be your name, King of glory. Hallowed be thy name forevermore in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I know whom I believe. I know in whom I have believed. Do you know whom in whom you have believed? Do you know who you have believed? Do you know this God? Is he your God? Is he my God? For this God is my God. Forever and ever, he will be my God from now
heaven unto the earth. For this God is my God forever and ever. He will be
this afternoon. What a good God you are. You are Jehovah, and there's a reason we call you Jehovah, because whatever you say you will do, that is exactly what you do. Faithful, righteous, loving, kind, caring. Besides you, there is none else. Thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for that promise that indeed our prayers and our arms have come before you as a memorial. That it will celebrate you today. We thank you for our service, our first service, first Sunday service, even in this sanctuary. That it will give you all the glory. Lord, we give you all the praise. Lord, this is your doing. This is the confidence that we have in you. And Lord, you have performed your word. You have performed your counsel. We are grateful. We are thankful. We appreciate you, Lord. Be thou exalted forever in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I pray over this congregation this morning or this afternoon. Lord, you know those things they are believing you for. You know those things that you have already answered that are just yet to be manifest. Lord, I pray, oh God, that there shall be a manifestation even of those prayers that have been answered in the name of Jesus. Lord, like you opened the eyes of Hagar, Lord, you will open our eyes of understanding that we may see your provision, that we may see those things that you have freely given unto us in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer, for in Jesus' mighty name I have prayed. Amen. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you for the service today. As we come to a close, we ask, oh God, that you will continue with us. Lord, even those things that have been said to us today, I pray that by your Spirit, you will expound your word in every heart. That beyond what was said, Lord, by your Spirit, you will expound it to God in every heart in the name of Jesus. Lord, let there be a performance of your word in the name of Jesus. Lord, as your people lay hold on your promise, even from this day going forward, Lord, let there be a performance even of your promises in every life in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Jehovah, for in Jesus' matchless name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. I still believe God. We have over 24 hours. Your miracle will be one of those that will come in the next 24 hours. In the name of Jesus. Hold on to God. Believe God. Stop worrying. Start rejoicing. Knowing that God has heard your prayer. Knowing that God has received your alms and your offerings in the name of Jesus.